Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Nero Show. In today's episode,
what bikes caught our eye at 2024's first professional race, and what's the deal with that new factor? Cannondale have doubled down on the Lab 71s, and why is everyone so obsessed with Valtteri Bottas? All right, let's get into it.
So you were on location this week.
Live on the ground. Coyle. Yes.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah.
The whole thing. Where were you? What were you up to? Tell us about it.
I was at the Australian Road Nationals, first professional bike race of the year in the world. I was there.
Getting your eyes on things. Were you having a bit of a sniff about? Because it's been a while since we just sat down and just talked bikes for a bit. And yep. I think what better opportunity than a professional bike race finally kicking off? There's some fresh stuff appearing. What came across your little nose as you were sniffing about around there on the Sunday afternoon?
Well, if we talk bikes, I wasn't there specifically just to walk around and look at everyone's bikes, but as you do.
You're a coach, you've got people there.
So it's interesting what's happening with some of the brands, because it was pretty clear in person and not just looking at it online. There's a difference between the good looking bikes and the bad looking bikes. But
hold your breath, people.
The brands, some of the brands are doing well to mask it. So ooh. I put up a story of the Jayco bikes, the giant Propels. In person, looking at them, actually not that much going on. Very industrial shape of the frame. But the paint, they've made it up for it with the paint. I think the paint makes it pop. So I thought it was hot. I put a story up. I got a bit of backlash and people thinking that thing's not hot. I think, look, not everyone can have a good-looking frame, but if you can paint it up, make it look nice, I think they've done a good job. It looks really good, and the way it matches their kit is really nice. The KDEX wheels with the big KDEX logos, I really like too. So I think that package they've got there, they've done well with what is a pretty, let's be honest, boring silhouette frame.
Yeah, big logos on wheels. I like that.
Yeah.
I was actually, even just a, yeah, I'm a fan of just a big grotesque logo sometimes especially on a pro bike. With that bike in particular though, the color scheme, I know you mentioned it, a three-part colorway. I just don't know why we've thrown silver at the back of that bike. It just doesn't seem to make any sense with the kit or the rest of what's going on with the whole design language is something that people talk about. But, yeah, it just seems to be like, is it trying to therefore mimic being an aluminium bike? I don't quite understand the back end of it. Yeah, but it was kind of harmless. I don't know how many people have seen what happened in the race, but essentially it was 2.5 hours of Luke Plapp on television riding around Mount Buninyong. No offense to Chris Harper, but that was particularly what it was. Just the equipment side of it, it's just not the same. I just reckon, so when Luke won last year and there was the side-on shots of him riding into the finish line with the Pinarello, the Dogma, the Ineos kit, I just reckon at that moment, Dogmas were just flying off the shelves. Like, it's just, you just see that and you're like, ah, that's amazing. It just doesn't quite have the same, doesn't hit home quite the same.
I get what you're saying, but it's a giant versus a Pinarello.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
It's true.
Like, it is just, that is what it is. I think they've done pretty well to make the frame look good, matches the kit. They've won nationals on it. Like, they haven't just won nationals, they've just shat on the rest of the field
exactly.
On it. Yeah. So I don't know what else they can do. It's just
that's almost my point. Yeah. Like it was even more impressive a performance. Like, and yet I think we'd all just still come away from that going, oh, yeah, it's a giant.
Yeah.
whereas if that, I think what I was trying to say then, if he'd done that on the Dogma, everyone would just be like, whoa, the Dogma.
Yeah, yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But yeah, that's it is what it is.
It is what it is, isn't it?
Any other
well,
things
just
you
on
noticed?
That team in particular, as far as I can tell, Caleb's not even on a giant.
Now, what?
That's. I said that particularly inflammatory. As far as I can tell, he's actually on a live that he's painted up in the giant Ooh. Scheme because they don't make the frame in the Propel small enough.
Wow. Okay, that's actually, yeah. I mean, I'm impressed by that. How small a frame does he run? Jesus.
A 47.
Okay.
From Instagram comments. It's kind of hard to tell because the Propel non-advanced SL model with the regular C-Post looks kind of similar to the Liv race bike that the women's Jayco team are on. But rumor has it, he's on a Liv,
wow.
which would be pretty, like, if he's winning Australian Criterium Champs on a women's bike, that's freaking, that Liv is legit. So that's, they're going to paint it as a giant, but that's more of a, there's nothing bad about the Propel. It's more of an ad for how good the Liv is if Caleb Ewan wins a men's elite criterium champs on it. It's pretty cool.
I suppose that sort of goes against what we were saying when Specialized released their one gender program to remove the women's specific stuff. Yeah, I suppose if it just comes down to the body proportions of the person, then maybe the women's specific stuff is bullshit and it's just a matter of what fits you.
Yeah. Well, it's doing the way he accelerated out of that last corner coming around Jensen Plower. If it's handling that well, then damn, that is pretty cool. But I'm going to say unconfirmed at this stage because this is, I didn't actually go and ask him, are you on a women's bike?
We'll
put it out there, okay?
That's about as much research as anyone watching this show expects, all right? Now, speaking of research, did you have a sniff around the Bianchi? This is the first time you might have seen it in person.
That is the first time I've seen that new Bianchi Ultra in person, even though it was released a while ago. Miles Scottson, ex-Australian champ, was on it. It's just ugly. That is really... For Bianchi, which is Italian heritage, you couldn't make a less Italian-looking bike than that. It is full industrial aero functionality spec. There's no art Italian flair to that bike, and it just looks – it's probably quick. It just looks like it looks opposite of an Italian bike. And even in person as well, it stands out even more.
I don't know what it is because, you know, I'm pretty sure I can pull up some sound bites of us talking about it a few months ago saying, gee, I'd love to try that bike. I'm fascinated by that bike. It looks cool, that bike.
Mm-hmm.
But you're dead right. I've seen one in person as well and it's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know how, but it's boring. Like you look at it. You look at it in terms of the all the extreme sort of shapes and everything of it. You would have thought the whole package of it would be quite out there, but maybe it's the paint job. I was thinking a bit more about it. I think it's lacking curves. I almost think that's what we expect from Bianchi is some kind of shape like that. Whereas this is just. Really harsh lines.
It's quite, so it is quite harsh. The only thing I would say is I don't think it's boring. I think it's aero road bike, but then dialed up to 11 and kind of looking like a super bike, but in a really not artful way.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't think it's boring. I would say the Propel is a boring looking frame. If you had them in raw carbon, no paint, the Propel there's no curves to it. There's nothing going on. It's just do its job. But the Bianchi is kind of like a 12-year-old boy has designed an aero bike on Photoshop. Like that's probably what you'd make. So yeah. But so you think it's a little boring. I think it's kind of overwhelming. It's like a, it's like an overload of just, it's like a super, if a superhero equivalent of just over the top, the handlebar of it, that the junction between the seat stays and the seat tube, that whole thing. It's
the reason I said boring is the only, when I actually saw that in person, I didn't realize at the time, but I'd been riding with the person who had that bike for 20 or 30, well, up to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think to go, oh, that's the new, do you know what I mean? It didn't pop out. Whereas I'm normally very kind of good at that stuff. Like I will identify bikes quite quickly because I'm drawn to them. It just sort of disappeared off into the distance.
Maybe more to the paint, because they seem to just, they're not playing on that Celeste colorway really with that design. It's mostly black. So potentially that's doing it too. Another, like, if I'm saying the Propel silhouette of the frame is a bit boring, not much going on. The Scott Foyle, beautiful looking bike.
Yeah.
Really, that is a work of art. Just looks really nice, regardless of the paint. It could be any paint. It just is really nice looking. James Whelan was on that going up the hill. It looked really freaking good. I just can't say enough good things about how that bike looks. It really stands out.
Is that the first time you've seen it in person?
It's the first time a couple of people in Sydney have them, like at the shop, seen a couple, but not. I have never looked at it in detail in person.
Holds up.
Yeah, it does.
So one more bike,
yep.
And I got a bit of a, I don't know if this is a story or what, but it's this blew up on Instagram and on cycling news. So my chain guy,
your chain guy,
my chain guy,
yep.
Accidentally, or I'm not sure accidentally, but he leaked the new Factor Austro Vam. So chain guy in question. Did the chain for Simon Clark and sent it down to Simon. Simon sent some pictures back to him that he was told he could post after the race, which he subsequently went and did. I must admit, the guy who was doing the chain didn't realize or wasn't told specifically what the situation with the bike was, went ahead and posted it. And, next thing he's found himself is his Instagram page all over cycling news and he's loving it. Business is booming. The cycling news article's hilarious. It's like they're not sure whether Simon Clark went for the optimized chain or not. So there it is. There is the new Factor Austro.
What do we think? I don't know where I must have missed this news. I didn't even I saw him riding it. I assumed it was just the regular one. I didn't actually go up and have a look at it, so I haven't seen it in person. But there it is. New Factor Austro Vam. And I think it's if we're going to put, so we've been going through bikes in this chat so far. If I'm putting this in the ugly bucket, the good looking bucket with the Scott Foyle, it's not in with the Scott Foyle, is it? It's in the Propel, just I'm here to do a job bucket, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that's a bit harsh on the Propel. In the sense that at least the Propel seems in proportion.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm a bit worried about where we're headed with aero bikes because to me an aero bike, a cool looking aero bike like the Scott Foyle that you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and I will shout my chartreuse, it's the official color S5 that I have, cool looking aero bikes, all the tubes are in proportion. They're thick, they're shaped, but there's a balance to all of them, front to back.
Yep.
I don't like the way we're headed with this. We're going to throw buckets of tubing towards the front of our bike and we're going to try and spin out as tiny a little toothpick seat stays and chain stays as possible because that's supposedly not that aero back there, so we're going to save some weight in that regard.
Mm.
The result of that is whatever the that is, and it honestly looks like they went, okay, let's take the Factor. What was the full aero one? The Factor one?
The one, yep.
We'll slice it in half with a O2, and there it is. O2 at the back, one at the front.
Mm.
Out.
Not interested?
Out.
Because I thought the current version of the Factor Ostro was pretty good looking.
That was 100%.
Fairly up there.
Mate, it's a friggin' influencer's bike. An influencer's bike doesn't become an influencer's bike for being ugly. It's got to be sexy. But that's not sexy.
What have they done? I can't quite put my finger on what they've done. They've kind of chopped up a bit of the seat tube. If we're looking at the photos here, it's got an ugly collar sort of thing on it. I mean, and then it's just looks like it's thicker in the down tube and a little thicker in the head tube. It's just, yeah. It's actually not, now I'm looking at them side by side. It's not that much different from the current version. It's just thicker in worse places and thinner.
Mm. It's not a dramatic shift.
No, it's not. It's just,
when the metrics come out in this, it'll be, what do you reckon, 200 grams lighter?
Well, they'd be doing well if they made that Ostro 200 grams lighter, but potentially.
Let's say it'll be 7 watts faster? No, probably not that much.
Three or four, maybe? Yep.
Yeah, 3 or 4, yep. And that'll be it.
Yep, same stiffness.
Fair enough.
And a little bit uglier. I mean, I couldn't, I'm just talking about the looks here. The stats we can. But so this paint scheme I also find interesting because the front of the bike is the thicker end of the bike. So the paint scheme they've done here for the team is the lighter blue in the front end, darker blue in the back end. So they're accentuating the thicker part of the frame, which I find strange. That's generally the ugly part that's just for aerodynamics that you're trying to hide, make the back end it's a bit thinner, brighter. Like I would be curious what that bike looks like if they swapped the frame colours around.
I mean, you look at that. I mean, I think the Aero's a cool looking bike, but it's a cool looking bike because it's in proportions. I mean, look at that head tube, the seat post. There's consistency across that. You know.
Yep. Like, but at the end of the day, would that bike ride better if the seat stays were thinner?
Mm.
And would it be more aero if the fork was deeper?
Yes. But I find it interesting that because I always thought, and now we're not aero at the back end anymore, but like look how shaped that back end is. And I see that on the S5 as well, where it's like that rear wheel just like hides in behind the seat stays. That doesn't seem to be as big a deal for these guys anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, good. I think that I think that's like, if you want a bike designed just to look good, there's a place for that. But at the end of the day, these are race bikes intended to be ridden by World Tour teams. They should be trying to make the best bike possible, not the best looking one. So
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah.
No?
I think Factor's got a foot in both camps here.
Right.
You know, and I don't say this out of criticism. I say this out of well played, lads. Mm-hmm. Like it's the influencers brand because it was a really sexy bike.
Okay.
I wonder whether that's going to hold firm, hold true with that particular model.
So from like a brand decision, you're saying they should not necessarily be all performance oriented.
Yep.
Try and make it also look the part.
100%.
Okay. Fair, cool. Yeah.
I mean, performance orientated, they're not in the World Tour anymore. So it's whatever. Yeah.
Well, they aren't, are they?
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
Finally, just massive shout to Ren. Like, he's good on him. This is a young Aussie kid up in Brisbane. Like, Simon just reached out the same way that I reached out to him. So he's got a bit of free publicity here. And I love that he's doubled down on this. He's taking screenshots of the cycling news thing, which was kind of meant to be sort of saying like, oh, this guy's like stuffed up here. And he's like, stuff this. I'm screenshotting this and putting on my and then it's got comments underneath, like, you know.
He was also waxing the chain of the under 23 Australian time trial champion, Jackson Medway. On the chain, he's on using your chain guy.
Chain guy.
There you go.
Hey, what? Big things ahead for my chain guy. Now, all right, time for you to coolest bike from Nationals. What was it for you? I don't know if I put you on the spot here, but so I've got mine. You better not steal it.
James Willans, Scott Foyle with SRAM Red, Zip 303 or the 353 wheels. Yep. Hot.
I hate my answer, but there's nothing I can do about it. It might have also been affected by the race itself, which was the men's under 23s race, which was the best race of the weekend as far as I'm concerned. And the winner was Fergus Browning, Trinity Racing Kit, which, okay, does remind me a little bit of the Nero Racing one in 2021, but I'll allow that, 2022, which is one of the reasons I probably like it. But the bike with the kit, so it's an S-Works. It looks like an SL8.
It's SL7.
It's an SL. Sorry, it is an SL7. It's an SL7 with SRAM. But if you go into the details on that frame, it's kind of got this a little bit like the Willy Airs do for Astana. They've got that. I don't know what that effect is on the paint job, which is really cool. It's like a deep navy blue. I'm a sucker for a navy blue bibs with a navy blue bike, and then. The seat post has got this like pop of like pinky green in it. Yeah, massive, massive fan of that. The way you rode as well kind of helps from my perspective. So that's, yeah, I just reckon the SL7. I know I've said some shit about it, but oh, I think it's a really cool looking bike and it's getting cooler as we go
along.
Does
it have kind of old school cool flair? Like I'm not on an SL8 yet. I'm sticking with an SL7. Why does that look cool now?
The answer is I don't think we've reached that point. I don't think the SL7 is now retro cool. I think we've quite gone that far. But it is. I like those thicker tubes. It is a thicker tubed bike than an SL8. So there's more bike to look at. It's more shaped. Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, that SRAM red chain ring on it. Yeah.
Coming around to SRAM. Look at you. Yes.
Yeah. Except I think he's running an Evade helmet. Is it the Evade?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's the ugliest helmet in the Peloton. Full stop. Full stop. There is no
the latest mate, version.
The with latest the big, version.
Oh, yeah, it is that too. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Are we going to talk about the race at all? Or are we just going to talk about the bikes of the race?
To?
So did you actually watch it, the race? Well, at least the men's, elite
yes.
men's race?
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched the 23s, I watched the women's, and I watched the men's.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, though, this is quite Australian specific. So for everyone in the US, sorry. Hope you still care. But the crowds on there on the day is quite poor, I would say. Where is everyone in Melbourne? There's about 100 people go to the Hell Ride, and if you took out all the supporters, the crowds on the hill were so weak. Like I'm kind of glad that it's moving because Melbourne are just not really getting behind it. I have to say it's barely an hour away, and I know it was raining, so the weather wasn't awesome. But Melbourne's a big cycling city, and there were just not that many people there. So I'm kind of glad that it's moving on because it's the second biggest race in the country, and there would have been certainly less than 1,000 spectators there.
Yeah, that's disappointing because normally it is a bit of a festival. Like up on the hill in the feeding area, it's normally pretty good. How hard do I want to go on this? How many people do I really want to piss off? Should I or shouldn't I? Well, all right, I'll just go for it. We'll see. That's the first time I've watched the telecast as a punter. I'm going to say in almost a decade because for so many years. we had a dog in the fight, basically. We had riders in the fight. We were doing it ourselves. We were maybe supporting someone else down there. So that's the first time I've just watched it as a punter. And I just can't get over how Melbourne the whole chat is from the commentators, and the whole scene around that has become.
Are you saying from the sense that as someone that was watching, it didn't really make sense to you unless you were familiar with the Melbourne personalities? Or was it just annoying you that pretty much all the chat was related to people that were from Melbourne when they got the entire rest of the country that would be watching?
That's a really good question. So, you know, we get accused of talking about the Sydney bubble, et cetera, here all the time. And, yeah, we do. That's our experience. But it's different for us because we're not being paid to do a national broadcast of an Australian Championships event, which goes out to the whole country, which you are being paid to do to represent everyone evenly. And I'm sorry, you can't watch that and realistically say that everyone's being represented evenly. To the little points of, you know, riders getting breakaways and things like that, and the commentators will always, always concentrate on the Melbourne rider, the Victorian rider. They'll know more about them. They'll give the background to them. They'll talk about the coach of them. They might give personal anecdotes of said rider or said rider's coach or said rider's dad or said rider's track friend or whoever it might be, and it's nauseating. It's just constant. And then there's the other riders who are outside that bubble. Very often they tend to be sort of Queenslanders a lot of the time, and it's unless you're either in that Melbourne sort of bubble or the track bubble, it just gets completely ignored, and you're kind of a rider on a team. They might mention the team, mm-hmm. but that's about as far as mm-hmm. it goes.
I understand it's a bloody hard job to know every details on a broad spectrum of riders. If you're a commentator from Victoria, it's hard to know the Queensland guy. So would you say it would be better to purposefully not go into details that you know about a rider to keep it more even, or do you think they should just do more homework on more of the riders so that it's naturally more balanced?
The second one.
Okay.
Definitely. Look, we used to provide the commentators with bullet points about every one of our riders. So, you know, Ben Carman did this, et cetera, et cetera. Sam Hill had done this, et cetera, et cetera. Not once was any of that content that we provided ever used.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guarantee you that any of those amateur teams would be dying for some of this chat and would happily provide some of that. I don't know if other teams did that, but would happily provide it on the rider's behalf because we just want to be talked about, and it's like you're invisible. But beyond that, beyond the sort of in the bubble crowd, the other thing that kind of bugs me about it is people get uppity about the Tour de France coverage and that's, oh, it's about castles and, you know, all this sort of stuff. Whatever. I don't care. That particular coverage, you're trying to bring in just the casual sports fan, the casual architecture fan. You just want eyeballs on that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. Australian National Championships, the Road Cycling Nationals. Know your audience. It's cycling people. Come on. Like, just give us a little bit more insight into the actual bike racing. Or, oh, he's in the big ring. Oh, that's the big ring. That's the bigger chain ring. That's about as much gear chat as we heard the whole time.
Yeah.
It's just really, really disappointing. And mm-hmm. what's worse is, you know, obviously I am being a bit critical of Matt Keenan here. I know Matt knows a lot more than he's giving out here. And that's what bugs me even more because he's really good and he's really knowledgeable. And it's almost like he's being someone saying to him, dumb it down, or someone saying to him, just keep it local. I don't know, because he is knowledgeable and he knows a lot about the sport.
Well, yes, because he commentates every race.
Yeah.
Even the national, like he's around the national scene.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay.
My last little rant about it is the generic throwaway line of, you know, so there's the World Tour Pros, et cetera, there. And then there'll be, obviously, one of your writers, Elliot Schultz, was in there towards the end. And they use these really annoying terms, which is like, oh, well, Elliot's there. He's a domestic rider, which shows just how strong the National Road Series is. What? Like, the thing is fucking dying, and you're just using it to make everyone feel happy and warm and fuzzy inside because, oh, therefore everyone thinks, oh, the national development thing must be going well. It's a shit show. Everyone knows it's a shit show, and yet just to pretend otherwise is not good enough, and especially in a nationals event when the people watching know.
Yeah. So see what you mean. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just ultimately, I think, like you said in the beginning, the time has come for Ballarat. I think it's an iconic course. I would love to see a race continue there. I had this chat with Dan during the week. I'd like to see maybe an NRS race or some sort of amateur race happen there consistently to keep the course relevant, and then so in 10 years' time we can go back there. Fantastic, or good. But yeah, we need to fresh blood.
Mm-hmm.
Get the Puppers crew in WA around it. They'll froth it.
I was going to say, yeah, whatever. There would be more people. I'm pretty sure there'd be more spectators at Boxing Day Puppers Bunchy than there were on the hill on Sunday. Yeah. Anyway. I just also want to say there's a bit of criticism of the race or for Jacob because it was kind of boring. But they haven't won every year.
Mm.
It's hit and miss. They quite often they don't have the strongest rider and they cook it up. So to see them come and ride the first four laps like it's a club race and just like two in a group of 12, another guy bridges, and just absolutely destroy the field, hats off, because they haven't done that past years. So to get Luke Plapp on the roster, then come out and just destroy the men's race, towel up the women's race. It's kind of boring to watch, but who cares? It's just, if, as a sporting performance, it was freaking amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Quote of the day, though, was Luke Plapp. I don't know if you heard this. Luke Plapp being interviewed afterwards. He's like, oh, it's so good. The Aussies are back. I was like, Luke, there's no alternative here. It's Australian National Championships. Aussies have gone 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But anyway, we'll leave that. And you said, like, the beginning, this is a very Aussie chat. I accept that. But I think that's pretty common across – I mean, most people, when you say to them that our national championships, is it just stays in the same place all the time. And if you say that to Americans or people in the UK, they're like, what? Why? It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that moving it around, getting some fresh blood in it should be a good thing. Mm. Not Sydney, though. I should say, like, having just criticised the way Melbourne bubble, the Melbourne mafia have held on to this for the last decade, please don't bring it here. We'll completely stuff it up. Completely. All right, that's a pretty good wrap-up. Nationals, equipment, race, just generic rant.
Yep.
All good?
It's good to have racing back. Excited.
I don't know if anyone in the industry watches this show, but sometimes I see stuff happen on social media with really big brands, and I honestly feel like maybe this is really narcissistic, but it's a reaction to what we're talking about. So Cannondale have released the new EF Education bikes.
Yep.
And
they've just doubled down. They've just gone, hey, we don't care about anything. We're going for this Lab 71 thing. So what they've done is a cross post collaborative post between Cannondale Road and EF Pro Cycling. It's a carousel of their new nicely custom painted Super 6 Evo High Mod with the High Mod sticker in plain view. They've gone to no effort to hide the fact that it's a High Mod frame. UCI logo, HM, capital letters, and in the second sentence of the description, the 2024 Lab 71 Super 6 Evo for EF Pro Cycling, well, blah, blah, blah. They have, it's almost like they've just, yeah, they've doubled down. They've gone, well, we don't want to hide it. We're just going to make it even more obvious. And the other thing they have done was the top two comments on the post were about the fact that, what is this? And their author, which is their account, has liked every other comment except those two, but they haven't deleted them. So they're not hiding them. When I first brought this up, you initially didn't really care. When we really discussed it. You were like, well, whatever. And I was getting a bit up in arms about it. What do you think now? Is this funny? Is this just the joke now?
I still don't care from the Lab 71 type stuff, but it's absolutely hilarious. And this is the early leader in the most shared to Chris's Instagram DMs by followers of the show easily. I reckon I had 200 or 300 people send me this post with like laughing face emojis. Like, can't wait to hear your thought. Anyway, it was just, which was kind of backed my theory about like, I almost felt like this was a reaction to it. But okay, the thing that triggers me about this is, okay, there were a couple of posts about the Lab 71, et cetera, et cetera. But this absolutely exploded across all my social medias. Like, people absolutely losing their shit over how unbelievably good looking these bikes were. The amount of flame emojis that seemingly were commented on, this just absolutely blew my mind. Like, the engagement on these posts were incredible. And I don't know why this triggers me so badly, because on like I've sat here and I've whinged about Focus and their lame looking bikes and their lame launches of their bikes and said, guys, you've got to do better than this. And yet I'm sitting here going, well, Cannondale, you've just released this bike that's got a nice paint job on it, and why am I losing my shit over that? All right, so I think the reason is because Cannondale have sort of now just purely become this style over substance brand.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, you'd look, well, they have. Because they've now just basically gone, we're just going to put a really, really pretty paint job over with false markings. Like, they're labeling the thing incorrectly with its pretty paint job.
But it didn't annoy you originally.
No.
So is it, but is it annoying you because it's got, now they've painted over, they've made it.
It's like we've relaunched the bike.
Okay.
With this pretty paint job. Potentially it's that, or like, yeah.
And I can tell you're genuinely annoyed. Mm. I want to get to the bottom of this. There's something in the back of your brain that annoys you about, because me personally, I mean, I don't like this color scheme. It's just not my, it's a bit too artsy-fartsy for me, but I appreciate that it stands out and it looks cool compared to, you know, plain S-Works. So I can only take my hat off for that. I don't know. What's bugging you about it?
Yeah. You mentioned the phrase artsy-fartsy, right?
Yep.
Which I got no issues with. All good. Happy days. But it kind of – so this launch almost identified that bubble to me, because I follow a few sort of photographers and stuff like that, and they were losing themselves over this design and even the images of that launch, which were so artistically perfect according to the kind of stuff that I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a whole sort of cycling bubble that I know exists. I don't have really much to do with that side, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's all good. But I think in this particular circumstance where you're designing a really nice bike with perfectly designed artistic images with a fake paint job that underneath is a very different bike, that's, I think, what's triggered me in this particular circumstance. And also, okay, and also now that we're diving deeper into this, there was like a – Cannondale was always a – like a, it was like a tool. It was just a, it was the black Super 6 Evo that was the, it was the prince. And it didn't have to be loud, because you just knew it was pure quality and it did what it did.
Yep. Okay. I can see that. Yep.
This isn't Cannondale for me. This is the wrong bubble. This is where Focus should, maybe Focus need to hire this crowd and spark them up a little bit.
I'm going to do a therapist thing and kind of throw it back at you. Resynthesize and throw it back. Are you annoyed because you actually think it's a good bike, and then they've gone and done it up with a nice paint scheme, and everyone's frothing it because of the paint scheme, but you actually think deep down it's actually a good bike and people should be frothing it because it's actually just a high-performance bike, and not be just because of the paint? And then the fact that they're also doing the fake Lab 71 thing, then is a little cherry on top. Am I there?
Yeah, you could be heading in the right direction. Could be heading in the right direction.
Because I still don't quite get you, Chris. Because I feel like this is what we want. This is the sort of branding marketing thing that
it is.
We are we are big on brands doing.
Yep. Which is where I started this little rant.
Okay.
Which was like, I don't understand why this is annoying me. Because you're dead right. This is what we're calling for.
Yeah.
So you know how Lotto Destiny have moved to Orbea?
All that. Yeah.
Did you see the backstory to any of this?
No, nothing. Fill me in.
So we're late to the party on this, I must admit. But I noticed during the week on the GCN news panel that so Ridley are potentially going to sue Lotto Destiny over disloyalty.
Oh.
Regarding ending their agreement early. So they were contracted to supply bikes for Lotto Destiny for, I think, another 12 months, or at least for 2024. But Lotto Destiny backed out of it and, as we've seen, have gone to Orbea Bikes. And okay, there's probably some financial stuff in behind it, but there's some weird lines in it. So the rumors were that Arno Delee was hesitant to renew his contract with Lotto Destiny until they found out that there was going to be a new bike. The inference being,
right,
he felt there was a disadvantage being on the Ridleys.
Interesting.
Have you done any tour magazine looking at, because I mean, okay, that Noah Fast looks fast enough. Like, yeah, I don't know.
So the tour magazine's overall rating for the Ridley Noah Fast disc is 1.5. Now, the lower score, the better. The Cervelo S5 is 1.6. Scannadale System 6, 1.6, and the SOX Venge 1.7. Trek Minoan was 1.7. And if you actually look at that breakdown, it was pretty well rounded. Aerodynamics was pretty good, 213 watts, which is up there with all the top aero bikes. The stiffness was fine. So me looking at this test, I can't see what it doesn't look like it's lacking in any area from Tour Magazine's test, so I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have even brought that up because I kind of feel with some of this stuff, like they start just throwing these like little rumors out as a way of getting out of contracts. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, the riders don't like the bike. They think it's slow. We let us get out of your contract early or we'll start like bad mouthing. Like, I don't know. I just sort of feel like there's a bit of that.
Stuff gets lost in translation. Like maybe he doesn't like the tires.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, I don't like the equipment. And then a news thing runs with it.
Yeah.
The Ridley Noah Fast looks fine.
Yeah.
I can't really see it. Yeah.
Interesting partnership. I don't know. Like or Belgium Bayer. Brand. Yeah. Like, how would you describe Lotto? It's like a pretty hard man's. Like,
yeah.
Thing. And then the Orbea is like the...
What's the go with Orbea? Do you know much about Orbea?
Spanish Basque region.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually a really old brand.
Yeah.
Euskadel, the team that you don't like.
Whoever they are.
Yeah, they should be riding orange bikes. Get them on the orange bikes. I don't know. Like, I kind of like it. It's just a funny fit, that's all. Like,
they're going to be running
branding-wise.
They're going to be running their in-house wheels from Orbea too. Mm. It's the whole setup.
Wheels don't matter, mate. Watch Tour Magazine. Keep up. Actually, can I just quickly? So I had a lot of people reach out about the Tour Magazine thing. One guy who potentially I'll get him on the show at some point. I haven't talked this about him with you. He was actually working for a bike brand in Europe, and when they were building their frames, they built so their test bike was always a 56, and they would optimize the 56 because they knew that that was the bike size would be tour tested.
Mm-hmm.
They would optimize it around that, knowing because they knew the testing protocols that Tour Magazine did,
mm-hmm.
which is nothing wrong with this. Like whatever, like you know the bike's going to be tested, so they would do that, and so they would optimize it to perform well in those tests.
Mm, which was one of the people pick up on this stuff. The commenters are freaking on it because people are commenting that like, well, this testing applies to a size 56. What if I'm on a 48?
Mm.
Can you take anything from the results?
Correct.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe
I have no idea.
It's so that's but that's what you're kind of getting at.
100%. If the 56 was designed, as the model,
yeah, and that's one of that. Well, that is one of the criticisms.
Mm.
Can you fit? Can they test every? You know, can they test every frame, every size? I mean, like, it's just
Everyone should ride a 56. Just, I reckon that'd be great. Yeah, let's get everyone.
That's a solution. You pick the fastest Tour magazine bike, and then you just run a 56, no matter what size, so that you know it's the optimized.
Get Caleb on a 56. That'd be great.
Can we go with some YouTube chat? Because you put one of their videos in here that was, I'm going to say, I mean, viral is a stretch. More like a couple of people sent it to you. But it's this everyone's a shill channel.
Go again.
Are we gonna? Can we go?
Fine, whatever.
You put it in the notes.
I did. Out of spite, I think, because this is what you do on podcasts. You talk about. Yeah. Anyway, go for it.
It's like this channel came up that the controversial cyclist, but he's gone the. It's just a Hambini sort of route.
All the boys are in the comments, by the way.
Durian rider kind of. Route, and it's another one of these just calling channels out channels. Mm. I watched two of them, and I thought they were hilarious. what's your take here?
No, okay, I like the being called out stuff. I think YouTube needs more of that. I've got no issue with the taking the piss out of each other. I would love to see us on there one day being absolutely, what's the UK term they all use? Reamed, whatever it is. just sounds so horrible. There you go. Get us on there reaming. It's more the industry's dying or the YouTube's trying to sell us a fake reality, like the motorbike versus the bike industry stuff that we all meant to get all uppity about. I mean, come on at this point. Like,
so just actually on the videos, they are it's a commentary. So the person that runs the channel is watching like a Dave Arthur or a GCM and then just adding just chat over the top, just random sentences of just like, you're a shill. Yeah. Like over the top. So it's quite funny.
I say, you know what it is?
Yeah. Well,
you know
okay,
what it is?
Yeah.
It's not the actual video. I like you. I like it. It's funny. It's just the comments and it's just the, oh yeah, the industry is taking the piss out of us. Oh yeah. These guys are reaming. I'm like, just don't watch it then. Like, come on, GCN, like, The having a go at GCN for stuff because they've got ulterior motives. Yes, they've got ulterior motives. How do you think they freaking stay alive? They sell advertising. Come on, people. Like, I don't know. I just find it like, and then to use GCN as the, or Dave Arthur as the, like, that's the reason things are so expensive angle. I'm just like, how does that link get made?
I just, the thing that kind of I find funny is like everyone's a shill. You're a shill.
Mm.
Your mum's a shill.
Mm.
Your dog's a shill. Mm. You're all fucking shills.
Yeah.
It's like there's not that much money getting thrown around or like someone will mention one thing in a video. Like, oh, they mentioned a giant. It's like, oh, giants paid them. Yeah. Like, what planet are you living on? Like, there's not that much. There's not just bags of money just getting handed around. I think that is probably the part of it that annoys me of like someone – I would say Dave Arthur, and the video that he was reacting to was from 2020, so it's like a four-year-old video, innocently makes, I would say innocently, I think it was innocently, like makes just a pretty crap video, just basically reading ads.
Mm.
And it's just pretty much a zero value, something we would do, just chat video of like top bikes, just because he probably knows it'll get 5,000 views and it was 3 years ago on his channel. So like, he's not getting paid by Giant.
Mm.
But then, so it's just a pretty crap video. I think the reaction videos are funny. I just struggle to get that up in arms about it because it's not like he's getting paid 10 grand to make it. It's just like he probably thought it would get views, so he's just put it out. It's kind of, yeah, I think it's fairly innocent. It's not.
Maybe our view is we're just too in the – the bubble because, you know, we don't watch I'm not watching Dave Arthur's video for an insightful view into his thoughts on the compliance of the Giant Propel. I'm watching it because I probably haven't seen the Propel yet, and he's the first guy to get his hands on it. Mm. So I finally just get to see it, and that's all good. But, yeah, look, there probably are 20,000 other people who are watching. Are they really expecting? No, that's crap. I'm giving him too much. No. No one's watching a Dave Arthur or a GCN video and going, this is an interesting insight into how this bike rides. No. And the guy made the comment in the thing. He's like, the amount of bikes that he gets, Dave Arthur, he'd have to, you know, he'd have to ride, be riding 24/7 to actually be experiencing the bike before he talks about it. Like, it's just right. There's no reality to that. What else are you going to say? Shill?
No, yeah. I was going to say, what we need more of is less bike industries dying, bikes are expensive versus motorbikes, you're all shills, and more, probably, Hambini goes a bit rogue, more specific, this product is shit because XYZ, or this product is 8 times the price for this proper reason. I'm more interested if it's actually calling something out concrete as opposed to these more general just, you're a shill. Bikes aren't that expensive. We're not really moving the needle. We're all just kind of laughing at each other. Thankfully, there are some channels doing that, and that's more what I think would be good to spend more time doing. A real scientific debunker, like an old school, like more plates, more dates style. Just take it down with facts.
While I'm talking, can you have a look at the video that I don't know if you have, but I've written something in there says, this is why I love cycling YouTube. And this is, this video, it's a bloke who just bought an SL8, specialized version. I'll drop the link down below. He sits down for, how long does he sit down for there? He sits down for 6 minutes and he tells us about his bike. Oh, I frigging love this. This is perfect. It talks about, he uses some of the phrases we all know and love, like holding at speed and it's nippy and all that sort of stuff. But good on him. He sits down, but he actually
He's a shill. He's been paid off by
the bike stand. Whoever
he's
put
paid
that
off
stand
by Big Endurance because he's going back to a Defy.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, he's a shill.
So, and it's just great. Like, this is his experience riding it. And I actually think his experience riding this bike is probably more relevant than most people's. And he's kind of saying, look, I probably shouldn't have bought this, but I really liked the way it looked and I love the way it kind of felt. But then ultimately I've had to whack so many spaces under this bike that and I've got this back injury from previous sort of sports. And you know what? I think I'm just going to sell it and move on and be done with it. But like, it was just, I just love it. And not because he got to the end and he was like, oh, actually, you know what? It's not a bike for me. Like, whatever his outcome can be, whatever it is. But this is, I know it's not sustainable. This is this, you know what would be great is a way somehow this sort of stuff was filtered out to everyone. Like, if GCN, for example, had an avenue where this guy was able to send them their review, and then therefore we get to see this. Because I don't know how this popped up on my feed.
Potentially this is the frustration that the only channels you're seeing about the SLA is people saying how well it holds its speed. So the videos like this Jace-likes bikes is put up is totally suppressed because it gets zero reach.
Mm.
So that's a fair point. He's actually done a good – this isn't like a backyard video. There's B-roll, proper microphone. This is actually pretty good setup.
Mate, this is actually what we're here for. I honestly do think this. Like, I will dig. I will keep digging to try and find these as much as I can, and I do want to try and bring them out because this stuff exists, and as I said, this is why I love
– So what's the take? So you – sorry, I haven't watched it. I probably should have watched it. So what's the takeaway? He liked the bike. It's just the wrong position.
It's just wrong position. Okay. Yeah, look at the number of spaces under there. Yeah. It's just like he's got an old back injury. And yeah, it's just like I can't do 2 or 3 hours more on this than I can.
Mm-hmm.
So he's begrudgingly going to send it back.
Okay.
Well, he's going to sell it. 54. Get around it, Jesse.
54. That's for your size, isn't it? Isn't it?
Well,
let me go.
Yeah.
No, but it's not an S Works. It's only a specialized. Sure, you bother. Probably wouldn't.
It's not an SL7. Get me on a 7. Why are we all obsessed with Valtteri Bottas? Are we all that insecure about our sport that anytime anyone of any value from another sport who has a global following even looks at Lycra, we suddenly jump all over him as if it's the savior of all sides? And nothing against the bloke himself. He just loves bike riding. Good on him. Fantastic. I just find the reaction to him by everyone, just every sort of normal cyclists, is bewildering.
I don't really watch Formula One. So my wife messaged me when I was at Nash and said, oh, Valtteri Bottas is there. I'm like, he could walk past now. I wouldn't even know. So it's kind of irrelevant. I mean, look, I could sit here and go like, well, he's a big name. He's got 4 million Instagram followers. But like, I'm with you. He's getting more froth than Tadej Pogacar. Like, he's getting more engagement than the...
It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And like GCN articles about how fast he's Strava. So how the article about how fast his Wallunga Hill time was the most viewed article on GCN for over a week. And this was like a week where the, you know, Tour Down Under's coming up, there's kit releases, et cetera, et cetera. So I am going to cop some stuff for saying why, who cares. Lots of people care. This guy's a massive deal, seemingly, in cycling. Yeah. Now, I will temper all this and say, like, he's using his clout to do stuff. Like, he's the guy who's got that gravel race in Adelaide going. It's like, it's a legit big, I think there's a proper prize pool for
is
it.
Is that the Raddle Gravel?
Yeah, that's all him.
They've taken the
him
vows
and Tiffany
out
Cromwell.
Again.
Yep. Okay, yeah. 100%. So, absolutely, again, not against this bloke getting into cycling. I just find how the reaction to it fascinating from the perspective of, like, we just all must be really insecure that when a celebrity looks at cycling that we sort of swoon and we're like, oh.
There's a part of – maybe it's the contradiction that kind of gets me, or not contradiction but observation, that when the Tour de France is on, there's some dodgy, I would say, websites that have gotten their maths wrong, that are saying either the Tour de France is the biggest sporting event in the world or it's the top five sporting events in the world. And I just go, what planet are you living on where you think road cycling is like a top five sport in the world in terms of the professional level? It's just, it's not. And like, this is an example where an F1 driver comes in and is almost kind of pulling so much of our eyeballs, and yet supposedly the Tour de France is like the world's biggest sporting event. And you just go, nothing adds up. And it's more, for me, it's more that reflection that we are, this makes us all wet ourselves, so we're still pretty small fry for sport.
What celebrity would you swoon over if they did get into cycling?
So, get me in trouble here.
I've got my answer.
Sydney Sweeney.
Who do you think would be a massive deal, like a massive deal to get into cycling?
Do they have to be? Do they have to be another athlete or just celebrity?
No, celebrity. Ideally, not.
Okay.
I suppose Bottas is an athlete. Yeah. Sorry to offend F1 drivers. Yeah. Could you imagine a world where Taylor Swift starts getting into cycling? Gets into cycling, rides L'Etape the Tour. Like, I actually think that would do for cycling would be. Because she is, I was listening to this chat the other day, like, at this point now, she's the biggest celebrity in the world.
Yep.
Full stop. She's at like the crest of her wave.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's probably timed dating Travis Kelce 1 year out. Like, if she was dating him last year, it would be like, the whole world would have exploded because they go on to win the Super Bowl. And if she was dating him then, yeah, I know you're just completely confused by this. He's not winning the Super Bowl this year, so that's probably not broad. But he's like, she's easily the most popular, I reckon, worldwide, cross-generational, you name it. Get her on a bike.
Get her on an SL8.
Get her on an SL8. That's
well, Gordon Ramsay, he popped up a couple of weeks ago, specialized ambassador. Put a post up, Instagram, 115,000 likes.
Wow.
It's good. Gordon Ramsay's up there.
Yeah.
But he's not cool. He's just an absolute mammal. Mm. Like full, like this photo, I'll send it to you. Proper mammal spec. So it doesn't really have the, I don't know, what do you think? Taylor, besides Taylor?
Yeah, I think Taylor.
Yeah.
Like I was watching, did you see Average Rob? So Average Rob is a Belgium mm-hmm. YouTuber.
Yeah.
And so he's been following some stuff with Vanderpool. Did he do something with Van Aert? I can't remember. Anyway, they just put one up with a cyclocross. Shout to Benji for commentating mm-hmm. it. And like that's another angle, like a Logan Paul or a
– him. He's been riding because he's dating that jumbo skiing, ice skating, speed skater woman.
He
was riding around on a road bike actually. That did pop up.
Yeah.
That got a bit of – but not – he was – I think he was in sneakers. He wasn't in full roadie spec. Someone not in Taylor Swift's not in the sporting arena. Maybe a politician, someone Ooh. That's got nothing to do with sport.
Joe Biden fall off his bike a few weeks ago, well, months ago.
Oh, sorry, it's not Logan Paul. It was the brother. The brother's dating her, and he the Jake Paul.
All right, let us know down below, guys. What celebrity do you want to see in Lycra? Actually, I probably shouldn't phrase it that way, should I? Who would you like to see on a bike? Righto, so Tour Down Under is coming up. I am heading down. I have a couple of things. I managed to get a media accreditation.
Slimy bastard.
Slimed my
Sneaking
way
Sneaking around. Okay.
It was actually pretty cool. So I just applied as a normal human and like they have all like in the official sort of application, you got to put like your who publishes you and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, the Neuro Show. And all this sort of stuff. And, yeah, anyway, a couple of weeks later my accreditation came through, so that's cool. That I don't know what that actually means. I probably should read some of the stuff, but it probably means I can go into the areas and that sort of thing.
Yep.
So I'm interested to know what the Neuro Show people audience wants me to do while I'm down there.
Well, that's a problem. I'm thinking, Chris, what are you going to do? Because do you go interviewee sort of thing? Do you do Shane Miller style, DC Rainmaker, like looking at the gear? Do you not do any of – do you not film anything? Do you just sort of walk around and
sniff
just
about.
Get stuff for us to come back and chat about? Yeah, I'm very curious to see what your approach is going to be to make use of that.
Well, this is why I'm asking the audience. I'd like them to give me a little bit of insight into it. Yeah, look, I don't desperately want to do the walk around and here's the road bike because GCN will be there.
Whatever. Yeah, they'll do it.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So we can add our own sort of flavour to it. The other cool thing was Green Edge did reach out once they found out that I was getting a media pass and invited me to their launch down there. So, again, interviews and all that kind of stuff.
Sick.
Interested to know.
Mm-hmm.
What I do. Let's see.
I'm not convinced I'm not going yet. I think there's a last minute.
Oh, hello.
There's a potential last minute kind of fly down, I think. Maybe just like a two-day little, I'm thinking about it.
So there's that element. I'm going to do a thing. I want to do a Norwood crit. I want to do a Victoria Park crit while I'm there.
Oh, okay.
Definitely. Yeah. I think the Monday night I've sort of penciled that one in.
Okay.
I'm getting in there and having a rip.
Mm-hmm.
So if any other YouTubers are going to race, GCN guy did last time.
Oh, yeah, he did too. Let's get him in there. Yeah.
Cam's down there, so I'll have a little catch up with him, hopefully a bit of a chop off.
Yep.
What do you want to see? Have you got any what content would interest you?
You have a good point in the sense that the bike overviews GCN just kill. So there's no point. The interviewee stuff just takes so much time and it's hard to make it entertaining or interesting.
And what am I going to like what's your ambitions for
really
the race?
Your, like yeah. So I'd probably say nah. But I just want you to get – I want to come in here, open the notes, and there's like 1,000 tons of stuff of just crap you've seen that we can just have just the best Neuro Show episode ever that week because you've just seen so many different things.
Well, still be definitely online next week, so 100% going ahead with the show. So I'll be recording virtually next week. I'll have to have a few squeezes while I'm down there, Norton Summit squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe a Green Hill.
Yeah, a couple of loops.
See if we can – out in the basket range. All right, with that said, Jesse, we will see you next week either virtually or maybe you'll be down there.
Maybe. So. We'll have to think about it.
All righty. We'll see you all next week, guys.
See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.